This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Pets Aloud, Joy's very own show about pets. I'm Kristen and I will be keeping you company until 1 p.m. today. And joining me in the studio to talk all things pets is Dr. Ellen Bolton, Senior Veterinarian from the Frank Samways Vet Clinic. Ellen, welcome back to Pets Aloud.
Hello, it's great to be here. Come December, who among us isn't ready for the sunshine, barbecues, holidays and all the other joys that summer brings? And while we're all starting to get ready for summer, we also need to make sure our pets are ready for summer too. Today on Pets Aloud, we'll be talking about the things you need to do and what you need to look out for to ensure your pet stays happy and healthy all summer long.
Now, we do obviously have Dr. Ellen Bolton in the studio here today, and he is ready to answer all of your pet health questions regarding summer. So do you have something you want to ask him? Let us know.
Also coming up on the show, grooming your pet in time for summer is a must for many pet owners. We're going to find out what you can do to keep your pet looking smart all through the hot weather.
And it is still spring, but we have already had our first brush with 30 degree plus weather. So we will find out what we should do to help our pets beat the heat this summer.
And as we said, it's not just us who need to get ready for summer. Our pets do too. So we're going to chat about some of the things you can do to make sure your pet stays happy and healthy all summer long.
And Dr. Ellen will be answering your pet care questions. So make sure you send them in. Now, all of that and much more coming up on today's show.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, Ellen, would you like to tell us a bit about our first news item of the week?
I will indeed. Our shelter dogs are warming up and getting ready to rescue Melbourne's office workers again from the confines of their cubicles with the 2015 Human Walking Program, which is on Friday, November the 20th. So that's 2 weeks away today. We are encouraging the office workers of Melbourne to get off their tails, stretch their walking legs and head down to Flagstaff Gardens from 12 to 2 p.m. where one of our beloved adoption candidates can take you for a walk and a play in the park.
Now, for the home's General Manager of Fundraising and Communications, Kate Holter, the program is a great opportunity for office workers to take a much needed break outside, away from the office and to be able to interact with a shelter dog away from the shelter environment. Now, Kate said, dogs make wonderful companions and are widely known as stress relievers. The Human Walking Program gives office workers the opportunity to find out for themselves why shelter animals make great pets. Last year's program was an overwhelming success with all of the dogs at the event going on to find their forever homes shortly afterwards, said Kate.
In partnership with the City of Melbourne, this year's program will return to Flagstaff Gardens, home of the inaugural Human Walking Program. Ambassador and Human Walking Program presenter Mike Larkin is encouraging office-bound city workers to escape and join him in the fresh air for a walk and play with the dogs at lunchtime. The Human Walking Program will run from 12 to 2 p.m. with opportunities for people to be walked by friendly tail waggers of all shapes and sizes, and we will have food vendors, music and information about Adopter there on the day.
Now, our second news item of the week is that Dudley has found his forever home. Now, we love seeing our adoption dogs and cats go on to find their forever homes. But while some animals are quickly adopted, for others it can actually take quite a while for their perfect family to come along. Now, last week, just shy of his one-year anniversary at our Campaspe shelter, charming feline Dudley found his perfect companion and headed off to his forever home. After spending more than 8 times longer than the average stay of any cat at our shelters.
Arriving at our home as a stray late last year, it didn't take long for 6-year-old Dudley's personality to shine through. A natural explorer with an inquisitive nature, our Echuca staff couldn't believe that this adventurous gentleman was really 6 years old. While there's no time limit on how long a cat can be waiting to be adopted, the average length of stay for a feline is approximately 40 days. Dudley was available for adoption for 352 days.
So he was up for adoption for that long. And also, just a side note, he was actually in our care for 364 days. So literally
one day shy
of his first anniversary. So after watching many of his shelter companions go on to find their perfect matches, it was about time that Dudley found his own forever home. So stay tuned. We will give you an update in the coming weeks on how Dudley is going in his forever home. Now, if you are looking to adopt a cat or kitten, you can check out our website, dogshome.com/cats. And now let's draw open the curtain on this week's Pet of the Week.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Would you like to tell us a bit about this week's Pet of the Week?
So this week's Pet of the Week is Ace, and he's a really sweet little black and white cat, mainly white with some black splodges on his face. He is seeking a quiet home where he can enjoy a peaceful lifestyle. He's really affectionate, and he wants to be cherished and adored. We can assure you that he will return the favour. Due to his light colouring, it's probably best if he was inside all the time, or certainly most of the time, which will protect his light features, so his ears and his tip of his nose, from the sun. If you can offer Ace a lifetime of love and care and a decent supply of pets, he'd love to meet you. His ID number is 998-677. He's out on North Melbourne Shelter. You can call them on 9329-2755, or pop down there in person at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne.
We do have lots of other cats up for adoption as well at both our North Melbourne and our Echuca shelters. So if you are looking for a feline companion, please do head down and have a look. With so many up for adoption, it also means that there are so many personality types. So whatever you're looking for, there is sure to be the cat for you. Whether you want, you know, a lazy couch potato or maybe a more active, playful kind of cat, there is definitely the perfect match for you.
And we also have lots of dogs available.
We do lots of dogs as well. We can't forget the dogs. And lots of big dogs too.
We do. So we've had lots of big dogs for a while.
Yep.
And sometimes they take a little bit longer because I guess people are a little bit wary or a bit worried. But actually, my sister-in-law adopted a really big sort of Staffy Cross about 4 weeks ago, and she came to visit at the weekend.
Oh, did
and
she?
We took six dogs to the beach, ranging from Elvis, who is like a 3-kilo chihuahua, which belongs to Manuel's mum, up to a 30-kilo sort of Amstaff.
That's
and
very cute.
We had a ball.
I would have loved to have seen such a variety of dogs all walking side by side along the
great.
Beach.
Oh, they weren't really walking. They were charging around, terrorising people at times.
See, another thing as well is people might think that big dogs need to be exercised constantly throughout the day, which is not necessarily true. I mean, obviously, all dogs do need their stimulation.
Mm.
But I have two big dogs for myself, and I know they're happy with their daily walk and a bit of a play in the backyard, and then they snooze on the couch for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Whereas terriers, like mine, don't.
Yes, they're a lot more active, aren't they?
They go all the time.
Always on the go, always something to do. So as we enjoy the warmer weather over the summer months, many of us take to wearing fewer clothes and stepping up our grooming routine as a result. Now, it's important to consider this for your pets too. Coming up, we're going to find out how we should groom our pets in preparation for summer. Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're looking for people to join our team as program audio producers responsible for podcasting Joy 94.9's diverse range of weekly programs. Get involved, meet new people, and learn new skills. Join the biggest community radio contributor of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels are welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production required. Training is free for Joy members. Interested? Email Joy's production manager, Jason, via production@joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au. Now, grooming our pets over the summer months can help to reduce the heat and make our pets feel a little bit more comfortable in the warmer weather. However, there are some things you need to keep in mind while grooming your pet for summer.
Earlier this week, our producer Sam caught up with Frank Samway's veterinary clinic groomer Galina to find out what you should do to keep your pet cool and looking their best and looking cool when it's hot outside.
Lights, models, guest list. Just do your best, darling.
Do pet owners need to think about increasing the amount of grooming they do for their pet over summer?
Not increasing it so much, because you do want to keep a little bit of fur on them. Now, ideally every 2 to 4 months should you get your dog professionally groomed. Maybe a little bit sooner, maybe a little bit later, depending on the coat of the dog and the breed. Should owners be looking to shave their dog for summer, or is it best to give their coat a trim instead? I believe best to to trim the coat, never to shave it. You'd have to keep in mind that dogs like us, they get sunburn, and so do cats. So it's always best to leave just about an inch. It's not okay to leave your dog matted and then leave it for the groomer. So nice, short, regular grooming is best to do that than to give a groomer a very matted dog.
What about shaving your dog's belly? Is that something that could be done to keep them cool through summer?
That actually helps regulate the temperature because the animal cools from the bottom up. So shaving, if you didn't want to trim your dog too often, you could just shave their belly and that will keep them cool. A pet's coat is actually designed to keep them cool in summer and warm in winter. Animals can regulate their temperature really well. So if you do shave your dog too much or too often or too short, they actually it ruins their fur.
Okay.
And never grows back the same.
So in between grooming treatments, then it's other things that a pet owner should do at home to keep them well maintained so they don't come in matted.
Yeah, of course, a correct brush for starters, a nice bristle brush, also a comb, wide tooth comb to take out, just tease out the knots a little bit. Don't pull too hard or you'll hurt the animal. Longer haired dogs, do keep in mind they have to be brushed on a daily basis compared to short haired dogs, that's a weekly basis. Owners, if they're comfortable, they can bath their dog, use the correct shampoo and conditioner. Their skin is like ours, it can cause irritation.
That was Galina, our groomer from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, talking about what pet owners should do to ensure their pet is kept cool and looking their best this summer.
And while we are here, just a quick shout out to Russ and Devlin, who have sent us a lovely message saying they are stuck in traffic, but they're really enjoying the show and the pet info while they're there. So thank you, Russ and Devlin. We're glad you are enjoying the show. Now, this summer is gearing up to be a real scorcher, with Victoria already having some runs of really hot and humid days. Now, it isn't just us who can be affected by the summer heat. Our pets can too. So it's really important that we make sure they're prepared just like we are. Coming up, we're going to talk about what you can do to help keep your pet cool this summer.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, summer is fast approaching, and in preparation for the long, hot days on the horizon, Dr. Alan Bolton is here in the studio to talk to us about how we can make sure our pets stay healthy throughout summer. Now, a lot of us enjoy the summer heat, but sometimes too much of a good thing can lead to some serious health issues. Effects from the summer heat don't just impact us, but also our pets as well. And in very severe cases, extreme heat stress can cause serious injury or even be fatal to our pets. So, Alan, what should pet owners do to make sure their pets stay cool, particularly if they're outside on warmer days?
Well, I guess if you're leaving your dog outside on warmer days, it's really important to ensure that they've got shade. So make sure that their bed is in the shade. If you don't have shade in your backyard, then really they shouldn't be there. They should be indoors. Yeah. You should make sure that they've got access to cool water, and it's probably a good idea to have more than one water bowl or bucket if you've got a big dog, just so that if they knock one over, or if one empties, then they've got a choice. And also you can freeze that water and then it sort of stays cool longer throughout the day.
I guess something else to remember as well is to just keep in mind that how the shade moves throughout the day as
Absolutely.
The sun moves.
Yeah. So yeah. So sort of know your space and make sure that they've always got that shade. I guess if as the sun moves, then if there are different areas during the day, then maybe leave two or three beds out there so that they can make a choice.
And what about animals who are fair skinned? So, maybe they're white in colour or have pink noses. How can we make sure that they're protected? Because they're particularly at risk, aren't they?
They are. So I think we divide it up in dogs and cats. And white cats, which don't have any pigments in their, the bits that tend to get damaged are their ear tips and their noses. And you can see that because they sort of, first of all, they lose the hair and then they get a bit crusty and then they start to sort of look a bit black and then they sort of eat away and they can start bleeding. So it can all be pretty unpleasant with cats. White cats, I guess, really should be kept indoors in summer, just because there is a risk. But you can certainly talk to your vet and get dog and cat specific sunblock, which you can put on there. Dogs, it doesn't tend to be so much an ear and nose problem. With dogs, it tends to be dogs. Certain dogs love sunbaking and sunbathing, and so they will lie on their back. They'll lie on their back, and because they don't have much hair on their belly, then that's where the sun, where they get effectively sunburnt, and eventually that can cause cancer.
And just quickly back to the sunscreen, you do have to go to your vet, don't you, and get a specially prescribed one, human sunscreen?
You can buy it over the counter. I mean, you don't need a prescription from your vet. You can buy it over your counter. Yep. I've got to say, I'm not absolutely sure what the difference is, and we might need to look into that. But I think certainly take advice from your vet, and they can certainly sell you something appropriate. And it's not hugely expensive, so might as well use the right one.
Absolutely. So something else that can affect pets, much like it can affect people, is heat stroke. And that can be quite a serious issue in summer. Can you tell us what some of the signs of heat stroke are?
So heat stroke happens when dogs and cats as well aren't able to control their body temperature and get too hot. And most of the way, like we talked about, if you leave your dog in the garden, most of the way they'll do that is behavioral. So they'll seek out cooler areas and they'll pant, and panting's their best way of cooling. So if they aren't able to move to somewhere cool, or if something restricts their ability to cool themselves by panting, then their body temperature just goes up and up. And what they do is, first of all, they just pant more and more and they get distressed and they start slobbering quite a bit. And they get sort of, they can start vomiting and they really get quite distressed. And eventually they can start convulsing and have seizures, and it can be fatal. So that's why we always, we labour this point to say that it's really important that your dog can get somewhere cool, they've got cool water, and that, that you're monitoring them appropriately.
And I've heard as well that it kind of is similar to people where the quite young and the quite old are particularly at risk. Is that the same with
pets? That's true. It is. Yeah. Certainly older dogs, because their respiratory systems aren't quite as, and probably their circulation isn't quite as good. So they just, aren't as effective at losing that heat. Young puppies can't control their temperature at all, really, and they either get cold or they get hot. And the other one that people sometimes forget about is really, really active dogs. So dogs that will play and play and play and are really focused on playing with balls and things like that will run too much and won't think about it and can eventually end up in trouble.
So if anyone does notice any of those signs of heat stroke in their pets, what should they do?
Well, I think you need to get them to a vet. And first of all, you need, if they're outside, you need to get them inside somewhere cool, get a fan on them, wrap them in damp towels. Not really, you would never ever, don't ever throw them in a bath, because they need to be cooled down gradually. It's really dangerous to cool them down too quickly. So I would say wrap them in a damp towel and get them to a vet.
And so when they get to the vet, like, what do you vets usually do to help them?
Depends on the severity, but basically we need to, like I say, we cool them down gradually. So if you cool them down in an uncontrolled manner, you can cause all sorts of problems. So we generally put them on fluids. We will use, sometimes we'll actually put alcohol on their extremities, because it absorbs lots of heat as it evaporates, much more so than water. So on their ears and on their feet, we'll do the towel thing, we'll use fans. So there are lots of different things we can do, but what we do is we monitor them really, really closely to make sure that their temperature is coming down at an appropriate rate. And if they're very severe cases and they're having seizures, then we have to use medication to control that as we cool them down.
Now, it is important that pet owners take extra measures to make sure their pets remain cool throughout the summer. And remember, something that is so important is to make sure you never leave your pets in a car, regardless of what time of day or how hot it is, because it doesn't take long for them to suffer.
It's basically
just
putting them in an oven.
It is, absolutely. I think I've read that it only takes a few minutes for them to start feeling the effects, and it can be
really
fatal,
really quick.
Very
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah.
So later on today's show, Dr. Ellen will be answering your pet health questions.
Pets Allowed.
Come December, many of us are ready to enjoy the sunshine, barbecues, holidays, and all of the other joys that summer brings. One key preparation we need to do in the lead up to summer is to make sure our pets are ready for the hot weather. Now, with a few simple tips, you can help prepare your pet and make sure they are safe all summer long. To help us get our pets ready for summer, Dr. Allen is going to answer a few common summer pet care questions. So, Allen, is it important for our pets to get a checkup in preparation for the summer months?
Well, I guess, especially if they're older, most pets should have a checkup at least once a year because they need their vaccinations and whatever. And I guess traditionally most people get their pets at the start of summer because that's when the holidays are, so it tends to just fall at that time of year. But certainly if your pet is older or if it hasn't been sort of doing a lot over the winter months, it's certainly worth getting them checked out.
And summer is also a time of year when some nasty little critters like ticks and fleas tend to thrive in our pets. So what tips can you give to us to make sure our pets are flea and tick free this summer?
So again, it's kind of something that you don't want to leave until you see, because once you're starting to see, especially fleas, it means that there are lots more lurking under the surface. So most of us, vets would recommend that you treat your pets all year round, and there are some really good products now that you can either use spot-ons or tablets that you can give them, which will take care of everything. And it's probably, people sometimes worry about the expense, but if you end up having, if your dog gets dermatitis because it gets fleas, or if it, you know, gets something nasty from ticks like paralysis, it's much more expensive than the cost of just treating them every month. So
I guess
talk to your vet, prevention's better than cure.
That's it, that's what I was going to say, yeah, absolutely. So summer is also a time, with the nicer weather where we spend more time outside in the backyard or in the garden playing with our pets. Now, are there any garden items that we should be mindful of that might pose as a hazard to our pets?
There are lots of things, but it's like people need to use common sense. Things like herbicides and pesticides, so weed killers, rat bait and mouse bait, if you're using that, and things like slug bait can all be really dangerous, so you need to keep them away. Even things like tools, like rakes and that sort of thing, keep them in the shed or keep them securely away, because we do see cats and dogs and puppies that get injured when things fall on them. And every so often we see, which is really unpleasant, dogs that get injured because they try and play with lawnmowers. So if you're mowing the lawn, don't let your dog play with it.
Absolutely. Keep them inside for that time.
Yes. It seems really simple, but it does happen.
It does.
Yeah.
Now, just back on what you were saying about toxins like snail bait, if your pet does happen to ingest that, what should you do?
I would go to the vet or certainly call the vet straight away. Some of them may be safe, some of them are very definitely not safe, and you don't really know. And if you waste time trying to work out what's safe and what isn't safe, if it isn't safe, by the time you get to do something about it, it's much worse than it was at the start. So go to your vet straight away. Ring for an appointment if you can, but if you can't, just get there. Most vets will, if it's something urgent, they'll see you straight away. I wouldn't recommend doing things like making dogs sick, because you can make things worse. Your vet will treat them appropriately, will know what to do, so just let the professionals take care of it.
Yeah, and time is absolutely of the essence in cases like that. Now, lots of families like to take advantage of the warmer weather by hosting like lunches or dinners, maybe a barbecue out in the backyard. So what do pet owners need to do to make sure their pets don't eat anything they shouldn't? Perhaps sneak some sausages off the barbecue something?
Sausages probably... Some dogs are much more tolerant than others. And I think the two things we think about with barbecues and party food, one is a lot of dogs don't tolerate high fatty food. It can bring on pancreatitis, which is really painful and can be quite severe. Or it can just, if they eat lots of things that they're not really used to, it can just give them an upset stomach, which isn't dangerous, but you have to put up with vomiting for a day or two and diarrhea. And often it will settle down, but, it's still a bit unpleasant. The other thing is bones, and especially the sort of bones we use at barbecues, like steak bones and chopped bones, especially when cooked, they're really easy for dogs to eat. Cooked bones are not good for dogs because they kind of digest them and they go through and cause constipation. And chopped bones are just the right size to get stuck and cause expensive and unpleasant problems. Yep. So I think you just need to be vigilant, not leave dogs unattended around food, and just like be really careful, you know. And I guess, you know, to tell your kids, tell your friends that it's really not okay to feed your friends leftovers, feed your dogs leftovers without your permission.
And so a lot of pets, actually probably not pets, but dogs like to go for a swim in summer. So do you have any tips on what pet owners do to make sure that their dogs are safe in the water and that they don't get into any trouble and drown or anything like that?
I had to think a bit about this. I hate the water. I can swim, but I don't. I grew up in Ireland. It was too cold. And my dogs don't really like the water either. But I guess it'll be fairly apparent whether your dog likes water or whether he or she doesn't like water. And I think if they don't, then you don't push it. I think if they do, or if it, when you get them, if it looks like they do, I'd start off on the beach or somewhere where they can easily get in, get out. They're not jumping into deep water. I think if you're, you know, if you're on a boat and you take a dog or a cat, you should definitely keep it secured. So it should be on a lead. And certain dogs, and I was thinking about it, because certain dogs are bred for water. So things like Labradors and Poodles swim really easily, but then I guess breeds, thinking about it, I've had Whippets in the past and they've hated the water. And if you think about the shape, it's not going to be easy for them to swim because they've got really long, thin legs and long, narrow bodies. So you have to leave it up to them. Do it somewhere safe and don't force it would be what I would say.
Yep. And so what about for dogs who like to swim in fresh water areas? Should pet owners take the time to learn about like the algae that might be harmful to their pets?
I guess so. And I, again, thinking about this, not being a swimmer, I kind of thought, well, if you aren't really willing to go in yourself, or if you're not really willing to go in, if you're not going to enjoy going in to rescue them, you probably shouldn't let them go in there in the first place.
That's a very logical way of approaching it.
That would be my thing. So yep. I think you just need to be sensible.
Yep. So you have been sending in your summer vet care questions for Dr. Alan Bolton throughout today's show. Up next, we're going to answer your questions.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Throughout today's show, we've been talking about some of the things pet owners should do to make sure their pets remain happy and healthy throughout the summer months. Now, throughout the show, we've been receiving your emails from for Alan, and we're going to take a quick look at some of these now. So first, Alan, are there any household plants that are not safe for pets?
The main one that springs to mind is lilies, which are really, really not safe for cats. And it's the powdery pollen stuff on the end of the in the flowers. And cats only need to ingest, eat a tiny, tiny little bit of it, and it can cause kidney failure, which often is not treatable. So you have to be really, really careful with lilies and cats.
And we have also received an email from Ben. Now, he said this isn't summer related, but actually it kind of is, especially around Christmas time when we have sort of lots of chocolates around the house. So if a dog consumes chocolate, is there anything I should look out for?
It's very dose dependent, and it's very it depends on the type of chocolate. So if you're talking about dark chocolate and sort of, you know, the really good 70% cocoa stuff, that can bring on symptoms reasonably quickly. Whereas, to be honest, milk chocolate, they have to eat a huge amount of it, and it probably isn't likely to cause, it's probably more likely to cause an upset stomach than what we classically think of as chocolate poisoning or chocolate toxicity. So, but certainly with dark chocolate, any amount can bring on signs, and the signs are, they're a bit like if you have a caffeine overdose yourself. So to start off, you'll get lots of shakes and tremors and shivering and excitability. And little dogs are more at risk because obviously that they have a higher dose per weight, and eventually, you know, that can go on to cause seizures and sort of more serious things. So I would say just be careful with dark chocolate for that reason, and milk chocolate, you need to be careful about. It's not so dangerous, but it might give them an upset stomach.
And so another question we have is, what about walking my dogs when it's hot? When should I take them for a walk, or can I take them for a walk?
Yes, if they want to go, I would say. But generally, if it's really hot, you won't get very far and you need to come home. So you kind of need to plan your where you're going. And I would say go in the morning, go in the evening, and just be, let them be the guide. And if you see them, I mean, my dog Hector will chase a ball all day long, but once, if it's warm, he'll start catching it and taking it off to the shade and sitting somewhere shady, and then it's, you know, it's time to go home.
And another question actually on that note, for, you know, sort of just coming out to winter when dogs might not have been exercised that much, should they go straight into a rigorous sort of exercise and play regime in the summer months, or should they be eased into it?
We see quite a lot of injuries and lameness at this time of year, and it's just like with people, it's precisely because of that people decide on the first nice day that they're going to go to the beach and run around with their dog for hours. So that doesn't really work. They need strength and conditioning just like people if they haven't been doing very much. So you build up gradually. Lots of on-lead walking and trotting exercise is really good for building up muscle. So just take it gradually and be sensible.
And just one more question before we move on. How can I keep my pets calm if there's a storm?
You probably can't, if they have a storm phobia, then you probably can't really keep them calm, and it's managing that phobia. So you have to, if you can, stay with them. If storms are threatening, make sure they're indoors and they're secure, because if they're outside and they panic, they jump fences, they run, they don't know what they're doing. It's not a rational response. They're completely in panic, blind panic. So keep them indoors. Stay with them if you can. You can desensitize them. So if you talk to your vet or animal behaviorist, you can get recordings of thunder, which you can. It's a long process, but you can sort of play those at a low level until your dog's happy with them and reward them for being relaxed. You can also talk to your vet if it's severe about medication. So you can either use short-term medication, or you can use a more sort of long-term medication regime to try and reduce the general levels of anxiety. So there are lots of options.
Yeah. Alan, thank you so much for taking the time today to answer our questions on how to keep our pets happy and healthy through summer.
That's all right. Pleasure.
So summer is getting closer and closer, the perfect time of year to get out of the house and spend some time with your beloved pets. If you're looking for something to do over the coming weeks, never fear, we have the answer for you with Dog Dates. Up next,
your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
That's right. It is the time of the show when we let you know what activities and events are happening in the world of pets and animals. So our dog date for this week is the Human Walking Program. So the Human Walking Program is back. If you need a break from the shackles of office life, our shelter dogs are ready to rescue you. Come on down to Flagstaff Gardens from 12 till 2 p.m. on Friday, November 20, and our shelter dogs will take you for a much-needed walk and play in the park. Not only will you be able to have lots of fun with our adoptable dogs, there will also be food vendors, music, and info about adoption, so lots of fun activities there. The Human Walking Program will be held at Flagstaff Gardens on the corner of William and Latrobe Streets in Melbourne. And you can learn more about that at dogshome.com. Now, Alan, we've just about come to an end of the show.
That is, which means it's almost the weekend.
It is. So before we head off, we're just going to give you a quick reminder of our pet of the week, who is Ace, and he is a gorgeous domestic short hair cross cat who is up for adoption at our North Melbourne shelter. Very sweet and friendly, and looking for a family who will love and cherish him as much as he will to you. If you want to learn more about him, you can visit dogshome.com. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and don't forget to walk your dog.
And pat your cats.
This has been Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.